Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is B&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. This is B&K Bible Break. Yours truly, Derek, and my wife, Sister Kay. And we just want to say good evening. Hopefully you had a blessed day and a blessed weekend. And on behalf of us, we just want to thank the Lord for waking us up in our right mind, giving us the activity of our limbs, and being able to do his will one more time. So with that, we just want to say good evening to all those that are listening, whether you're on the internet or you're on the phone line. We just want to say thank you. Of course, we want to thank all our sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Outback, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing. We just want to send them a good quick shout out. We have a great show. I'm not going to call it a show. We have a great word for on tonight. We hope you got your listening ears, that you be hearers of the word and not just doers of what we're getting ready to get into tonight. I'm just excited to be in the land of the living, and I'm just blessed. I have the activity of my limbs, my breath, and my right frame of mind, and I still have the passion to serve Christ. So with that being said, I'm going to say good evening to my wife, Ms. Kay. Good evening.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday to all those that are listening. We just want to say, again, glad that you can tune in and listen to us one more time. And that's really all I had to say. I'm ready to get right into the word tonight. We won't be with you long, but we're going to be short, sweet. Get in, get out. Hopefully you get a word from tonight. I'm going to have a quick prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to my beautiful wife. She's going to take the lead tonight, and we got something real good for you, so hopefully this will encourage you, uplift you, and make you think a little bit. So I'm going to have a quick prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you, Father God, for allowing us to share your word one more time, Father God. Father God, let us. I ask that you will give us the knowledge and the wisdom to rightly divide your word, Father God, that it comes from you, Father God. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just let us be used the way you want us to be used, Father God. Father God, if there's anything in us that's not like you, Father God, we ask that you take it out. Father God, we ask that you Father God, continue to bless us, Father God. Father God, if we've done anything, Father God, we ask for your forgiveness right now, Father God, for all knowing things and unknowing things. We just ask for your forgiveness. Father God, we ask that you give the listeners the ear to hear your word, Father God, and not just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And I'm going to turn it over to Sister Kay. and she's going to take us from there.
All right, all right. Thank you for that. Before I get into our subject tonight, I do want to just give the scripture. It's going to be coming from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And I just want to take this time to just thank the Lord for allowing me to see this day. And I know we say that, and it's kind of like cliche, like we're all, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. But do you truly, truly know what you're saying? So on this side of earth, I'm truly grateful because the Lord didn't have to do what he did. He did not have to wake me up. He did not have to wake me up, not only wake me up, but wake me up in my right mind with the activities of my limbs. So I'm truly grateful for that. My husband and I went to a friend's service on today. So it's been a very long day. And during the service, I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, it was so many people there that came from so many different areas of the country just to show love to this one person. And it was just so amazing how, you know, we can show up for a funeral and we can pack the house. And there's two parts to that. One, it's like, I know she knew all these people loved her because she touched all of these people's lives. But just if we could just do that to somebody while they're still here, so they'll know that they're loved, that they're thought about, that they mean something. It's like, how come we can't pack the house like this when it's a celebration of the living, when that person is still here? So that was my thought process. It may be a little warped, but that was my thought process while I was sitting there. I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. Well, I pray that each one of these people, you know, showed her the love that they were showing her today throughout her life. And also, being in the house of the Lord, I'm like, okay, we can all meet up for a funeral and it can be packed, but we can't come to church on Sunday. I don't understand any of that. I know the virus is real. She actually passed due to COVID complications. So I'm not taking light that the virus is not real. But if we can just, you know, do our part. If you can't make it to service, that's fine. But I know a lot of people, you can go out to dinner. You can go out here. You can go to service. Come on. So that's all I want to say about that. I'm going to get off my soapbox now. But we're coming from 1 Corinthians, and it reads, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So I'm going to pretty much, the subject that I wrote down here is, who's the man in the mirror? So you can ask yourself that question. Who's the man in the mirror? Who are you reflecting to others? And again, that was 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. So, you know, throughout this journey, you know, that we call life, we face a battle every day. Whether we recognize it or not, there's a war going on, and a lot of the war takes place in our minds. And sometimes we do things without thinking, just out of a habit, or even not even paying attention. But a lot of the times we plan or premeditate the decisions we make before we act on them. So today we're going to be talking about the man in the mirror. And at the end of this broadcast, I pray that we all come to a conclusion on who we would like to see reflected. We will be covering three types of men based off of our scripture reading. So I'm going to just go ahead and get into 1 Corinthians 2:14, and this is going to be talking about the natural man. The natural man is patterned after Adam and rejects the things of the Spirit. These are non-believers, people not guided by the Holy Spirit, who lack godly spiritual perspective. They are unable to believe the truths of God, which is communicated through his Holy Spirit. Now, the natural man can grasp things intellectually, but there is no spiritual understanding. Human wisdom is limited to what we can see and work out with our human reasoning. The natural man will never be able to comprehend the spiritual truths of God. They are tuned into a different station. In other words, they're like on a different frequency. And without God's spirit, they can't get it. So a lot of the times I know you see people and you think to yourself, what in the world made them do that? Or why aren't they getting it? They don't understand. It's not clicking. It's not registering. And you're looking at them like, don't you see that this has God all over it? But they can't get it. They don't get it. They don't have the spirit of God within them to even understand what's going on. That's the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So that's kind of what that passage is that I pulled from that passage that I read. Cousin, did you want to add anything to the natural man?
No, go right on ahead. You're gonna tackle.
Okay, all right. So moving right along, I'm gonna go to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 2:15. Now, if you notice in that particular verse, talking about the spiritual man. And it was the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. So the spiritual man, God's spirit makes it possible for us to understand and believe spiritual things. This means that with the Holy Spirit, us as Christians have the ability to understand matters of this earthly world and the divine world. But people who do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them cannot understand, you know, as Christians. You know, they say we are in this world, we're not of this world, peculiar people, royal priesthood. We are different. So we're gonna look different. We're going to handle things differently. We're going to, you know, go about things differently. We're not going to look like the world looks if you're walking in the Spirit. If your spiritual man is leading, it's going to be a difference. Somebody should see a difference. Not when you're in the natural, in the spiritual man, somebody should see a difference. And with the natural and then the spiritual, you know, there's another man, which is the carnal man. And the carnal man, we know that, you know, they know the things of God. Yet in some ways, it's significantly characterized by the flesh. You've heard people say, you all in your flesh, or you're acting fleshly. You know, you can understand and you can do things that you're supposed to do, and it should be different, but you don't. So being carnal or fleshly is when Christians think and act according to the flesh and not the spirit. A lot of the times people say, I'm going to lay my religion down or I'm going to pick it back up. And, you know, they're acting in the flesh because they want to do what their flesh man wants to do and not let the spirit guide. That's when people are acting carnal. And a prime example of kind of like on the subject of the carnal man is, I'm going to go into Romans 7:15-20 because let me turn to that. That has to do with, like, the carnal man here. So I'm going to go and read this again. It was Romans 7:15. I'm going to just go through 15 through 20. And it says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So a lot of that has to do with us walking in our carnal mind, our carnal man. So we know what's right to do, but we're choosing to do otherwise. And so with that particular scripture, all God's commands are spiritual, but We are not. We know the law, but we still fail to keep it. Like, you know, my pastor always says, well, he did a subject on a scripture, I'm sorry, on a sermon, I can't even trust myself. And a lot, we can't trust ourselves, because if we rely on our own abilities, we're going to be up a creek somewhere. So we do need to let the Spirit lead and guide and not let this fleshly carnal man take over. So when you see a reflection in the mirror, it's going to either be the carnal man that you see doing whatever, the spiritual man, your natural man. Who's showing up? Who are you letting lead your life? Who would your friends or family members say is leading your life? Do they say, oh, she's supposed to be a Christian and she's always popping up at the mouth of somebody? Or are you reflecting the light of Christ in this? Are you spiritual man, carnal man, or just natural? Neither one, spiritual nor carnal. You're just in your natural man. Holy Spirit is not residing nowhere. So it's one of those three. You got to choose which one you want. You got to choose which one that is going to rule and abide in your life. You can't do one or the other. You do need to make a decision. And every day we do have to make a decision. Every day we are in a fight for holiness. And as long as we're on this earth, we will struggle with our sinful flesh. And we all have to look in the mirror daily and resist temptation. We all have to continue to fight the good fight. So it's not like you're in this alone or I'm by myself. We all have to do this daily. You have to choose daily what you're going to do. When you wake up in the morning, you have to decide how you're going to let things pour out in your day, how the outcome. A lot of times we do things that we may not know that we're doing some things, but some things we do know. You know if you got an attitude, and you know if you answer somebody in the wrong tone or you're giving off a funky attitude to somebody. You know that. So, and a lot of times we do need to repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness, and not only ask the Lord for forgiveness, but if you hurt somebody, and even if it's one of your kids, if you did something, okay, look, I was wrong. I didn't have to go off on you like that. It's not going to hurt you to get it right, and get it right quickly. Because like I said earlier, you know, these days aren't promised to us. We could be gone in a blink of an eye. All it takes is just a matter of a blink of an eye, and you can be in a different state, and somebody can be in a different state, and it may be too late for you to get it right. So it's important to get it right. Husband, did you have anything else to say on 14 and 15?
Well, yeah, real quick, you know, what you're saying is making a lot of sense. I'm going to slow it down a little bit because the three that you're talking about, you know, the Bible says that we were born in sin. So naturally, we're going to have a sinful nature where we have a sinful nature because we were born in sin. You look around, everywhere you look around is nothing but sin. And how do you do that? Well, how do you fight the sin? Well, first of all, you got to come into realization and knowing that the flesh is weak, and our flesh is weak. Because sin is good. And some of the things we like to do, and I'm not going to even go deep, I'm going to keep it real with just myself. If I like to eat, it's not a good thing, but I like to do it. So I can always find a way to eat. We can go to lunch and talk about the Word of God, but I'm still doing something bad to the body because I'm following what I like to do. And in order to fix that, you have to have a spiritual mind. I'm not saying you're supposed to be spiritual 24/7, but that's the goal to try to do. Is to be spiritual 20, and I'm not gonna say it's impossible, but it's something that we ought to strive to do, because if you're thinking on spiritual things, that's how you kill the flesh. It dies daily, and some of the things that we do that we like should be dying daily if we're being led by the Holy Spirit. The only way we be led by the Holy Spirit is we have to be in tune in His Word. And then we got to have some conviction. it's one thing to walk around and do something and it has no effect. I could hurt you, and if I hurt you, if I'm not convicted by hurting you, then I'm living, it's okay to me. I can justify me hurting you because I'm not connected. The spirit isn't connected to me. Or I'm just being rude I guess what I'm trying to say is spiritually, if you have a spiritual mind, you'll get conviction when it comes to sin. And even though you do wrong, you're going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And once you get convicted by the Holy Spirit, you start to change something on the inside, brought about a change on the outside. See, that's what we got to understand. Everything ain't going to change at once. But if you're being convicted by what you do and how you're living your life, even though some of the things you do may not add up, there should be some type of conviction. I was convicted on two things that I did a couple weeks ago. I thought I was right. I thought it was doing the right thing. But the conviction hit me when I found out I wasn't doing the right thing. So it hurt double. It hurt me twice because I hurt someone or their feelings because of my action. But I thought I was doing the right thing. Now, I could argue that debate why I thought I was right. But because I'm trying to be spiritual, then the spirit man would tell me you were wrong. And it convicts me even more, so I won't do it again. And then I know better moving forward. That's when you know your flesh is dying daily, is when you can be convicted by something that you think is right and it really is wrong. I hope I'm making that as clear as I can get it. But because I was born in sin, some things that I do, even if I think it may be right, it might be wrong. But if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you will get conviction because the Holy Spirit can't dwell when you're doing darkness or when you're doing something that's going to hurt someone or even hurt yourself. You should be convicted by it. And one of the things that I'm troubled by is people go around hurting people who are supposed to be saved with no conviction. And I'm like, well, how do they have the Spirit of God in them and they know what they're doing is wrong and they have no conviction? They have no, they just think it's okay, and they think that they're right. No, when you're following the Lord, there's some things that, even myself, I think that I'm right. Well, if the Holy Spirit come up to me and make me feel bad about something that I'm doing, or someone gives me something or tells me something, then I have to really look at it and see, okay, the Lord's trying to tell me something. And that's how you kill the flesh. You got to feel that conviction from the Holy Spirit. And we all should feel that moving forward. Whatever we do, we can wake up, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But we might cross someone wrong. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide and tell you. So when you look in the mirror at night, when you see, you should be able to see the reflection of the Holy Spirit in you. If all you see is you, something's wrong. If all you see is a person that's right all the time, something's wrong. You should be convicted by something that you're doing on a daily basis because we were born in sin. Even though I know we're saved, sanctified, there's too much sin around us not to be convicted or us doing something because we're not perfect. And the Bible says that, you know, if any man says he's perfect, he's a lying, the truth is not in him. So we're not perfect. So there's something we ought to be doing to kill our flesh on a daily basis.
Amen. You got to kill that flesh daily because if you don't, it will take over. It will take over quickly. So it's important to kill that flesh.
And let me say this too. I just want to add this in there. Be careful, and because I've been saved a long time, it's happened to me. Because sometimes I think religious is right or because we do it a certain way is right. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit isn't religion. So the Holy Spirit may tell my wife to do something totally different than it tells me. But because it's me and I'm the head and it's my house and it's going to be my way, it don't work like that. Because the Holy Spirit can use her as well. And it may use her in a different way than it used me. And we also have to be mind that we're Christ-like. And Christ didn't do everything the way people thought he ought to do it. They asked him, they asked Jesus, why are you healing on the Sabbath day? Because you weren't supposed to do that. But Jesus did it because he's being led by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you should be able to do it. And when the Holy Spirit corrects you, you should be able to take that correction, be excited about it. And this is what I've learned. When the Holy Spirit corrects me, I get excited because the Lord is talking to me. And long as he's talking to me, I know I'm doing the will of God. I may not have done it right this time, but he told me, corrected it, and trying to tell me how to do it right the next time. So it's not a bad thing when you're being corrected. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because the Lord is talking to you, and you recognize his voice.
Amen. I think it's important to embrace when you're corrected, because if you embrace it, I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, thank you for showing me me. Thank you for showing me where I need to get it right, because we want to get it right. We all want to make it in. So if correction is coming, no matter who it comes from, if it lines up with your spirit and you know, okay, yeah, you right on point and I was wrong for that, then you know that's coming from the Lord. So it's important to embrace the correction, because if somebody's doing it, it's because they love you and they want you to do better. It's not because they are trying to browbeat you. And if they are, then shame on them.
Well, no, you got to understand that, too. Because sometimes, and I just want to make this clear, sometimes when people try to belittle you, sometimes you got to listen to it because the Lord is trying to show you. They may not have good intentions when they're saying it, but sometimes that's the intention that the Lord is using to show you you're not doing this the correct way, because everyone's intention is not good. But sometimes he'll use that to open your eyes to see, I'm not doing this right. And then because their intentions is not good, you're going to go higher, because now you're telling them thank you, and they're wondering, why are you thanking me when I just corrected you? I just read you your rights. And yet, yeah, you did, and you were right. That will really mess a person up that does something or has the intent of doing you harm, because they're going to make you feel bad or they're going to make you belittle you. And one thing that I've learned is, can't no one belittle me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. You hooked the brother up. I'm back on the straight and narrow. Here I go again. Even though they may have meant it to be bad. Oh, Elder Oliver thinks he all this, all that. Look what you did. Okay. You're right. And embrace it, because the Lord has shown you something. And even though they meant it as bad, the Lord always uses it for our own good. He used that. So everyone that's going to come at you, some of it is going to be good, some of it may not. But you have to check yourself and make sure the Lord isn't trying to tell you something. And he can use anybody. If he can use a donkey, he can use anyone to show you whether you're being spiritual, carnal, or natural. Anyone can show you that. And all you got to do is you go to church. And if you just sit in church sometime, or if you're not going to church, watch. All you got to do is watch people, and they will show you who they really are. All you got to do is watch them. And it ain't about the words that come out of their mouth. It's about the actions that go behind what they're doing and why they're doing it. And if your actions is bringing forth good fruit, then you know that this person is living that type of life. But then again, they may not be. And I don't want to, because I'm ready to go in four or five different directions. So I'm going to be quiet. So go ahead, wife.
Well, I'm just going to add to that. You'll know if people are being real or they being religious or whatever, because, you know, if they have the fruit of the Spirit, it'll show up. And if they don't, it'll show up. So, like you said, I mean, it's not so much about what people say, because people know how to say things eloquently. They know how to be charismatic. They know how to say the right things at the right time. But you can really see if that person is walking the walk. Let them be outside the church and see how they really act. Talk to their family members. You'll know how they really act. So it's important as children of God that to know people are watching us. So we need to make sure the reflection that we're presenting to people is a reflection of Christ and not ourselves. You can't be going around in the flesh. You can't be going around not letting the Spirit lead you and guide you, because we go mess up. So, you know, just continue to pray that the Lord leads and guides you. I'm going to go into the last verse here, which is 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I like that scripture there. It's like, you know, no human can tell the Lord anything. You know, they can't teach the Lord anything. He is all knowing. He is all, nobody can't touch him. So people like to say that they're their own God and they're their own this. And it's like, you don't even know what you're saying, because there's no way in the world you can't control when you wake up, when you go to sleep. If you go to sleep, you can't make yourself just randomly wake up. That's nothing but God that's allowing you to wake up. Somebody told me one time it was, I want to say, some type of gland that wakes you up, pituitary, some kind of gland. I'm not sure what, I can't say the name of it, but it was a gland that wakes them up. And I'm like, are you really just, okay, the Lord created your body, so if that gland is waking you up, it's because the Lord allowed it to. So we can't be going around thinking that, you know, we're God, and we can't have the mind of Christ if we don't have the Spirit of Christ. So, you know, mature Christians, the mind of Christ can discern the scriptures plainly and easily, not based on knowledge of science or reason. So it's not about science. It's not about reason. It's not about what you learned in this book or what you learned in that book. It can only be aided by the Holy Spirit. And aided by the Holy Spirit, believers have been given access to the thoughts of Christ to see what is spiritual. To see what is spiritual doesn't mean that you know everything that Christ knows. He reveals what he wants to reveal to whom he wants to reveal it to, and at whatever given time. So there is no way for us to know that you know, Christ is not the head, because a lot of people think they're the head, and it's like God is the head over everything. So give honor to whom honor is due. And as Christians, we have a higher call than living like the rest of humanity. You know, we can't live like everybody else lives. There has to be a distinction. There has to be a difference. Just like I said earlier, we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. There should be a difference. Somebody should be like, oh, there's something about you, or you don't do this, or you don't act like that. And somebody should notice something about you as being a child of God. You should, I like to say, stand out. Even if you, the plainest person in the room, of the Lord leads and guides you. So we are to walk in the Spirit and allow the Lord to lead us and guide us. So every day we should be checking our reflection. That's the bottom line that I wanted to get across today, is check your reflection. What you see in the mirror, what other people see reflected off of you, is it reflecting Christ? Are you walking in your carnal flesh? Are you allowing the Spirit to lead and guide you? My husband just said, and of course, they're 24/7. We do live in this world. We're not of this world, but we do live here. So it's not like we're walking around with our heads stuck in the clouds and, you know, holier than thou. It's not that type of attitude. But you should have an attitude to where people know that there is a difference between person A and person B. And the Lord's Spirit should be shining through you. So let his reflection shine, and every day check yourself to make sure. And if you get it wrong, if you make a mistake, hey, our God is a loving, forgiving God. All you got to do is go to him and ask for forgiveness. Get it right. It only takes a minute to get it right. You don't have to do this long, drawn out situation. Be real. The Lord wants you to be real, because he's going to know if you're faking it or not. Be real, be sincere, and let the Lord lead and guide you. All right, husband, I'm going to turn it over.
No, you're good.
It's all I have. That's
being
all
real.
I have.
Okay, well, that was good. That was good. Being real, And one of the things I want to say is, because I mess up on a daily basis, and I'm bad enough to admit it.
We all do.
But at the same time, because I'm trying to be spiritual on a daily basis, some days you just get it wrong. And I reflect on some things that currently happened a week, 2 weeks ago, and I thought I was right. I thought I was doing the right thing. The thing about this is, when you think you're doing the right thing and you didn't do the right thing, you keep it moving, but at the same time, okay, I'll get it better the next time. You don't dwell on that. And not that you have a puffed up attitude, but some things you just don't get right. And it's a learning thing. And then you have to sit and you have to evaluate, why did I do this? That's all in part of my personal relationship with the Lord. So I also find it thrilling that the Lord showed me that I messed up. Because whenever the Lord talks to you, you ought to get excited. Whenever the Lord's telling you something, you ought to get excited, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And one of the things that you hear my father say is, when I stop talking to you, that's when you ought to worry. And you don't ever want the father to stop talking to you. And he can talk to you in many different ways. He can come to you through someone's sermon, through a message. However it comes to you, long as he's talking to you, it's always a good day. And we know we're not. None of the disciples got it right. None of the no one walked perfectly but Jesus. And everyone made some, and we're going to make mistakes. The thing about it is if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you can be convicted by your mistakes. And that's not a license to sin or license to do anything you want to do. If you're doing his will, I heard the pastor say yesterday, I'll rather fail going high than win going low. And I like that saying, because I'm going to do all I can for the Lord. Even if I'm not doing it right, I'm still going to aim for the highest of the high. And if I miss it, the Lord is going to correct me and show me and tell me how I missed it. It's just like when Peter walked on the water and he began to sink, the Lord picked him up immediately. He didn't let him drown. He didn't play with him. He picked him up immediately and took him back to the boat and said, because of his faith. No, not because of faith, because you doubt it. He told him what he did. You doubt it. And that's what the Lord would do with us. Regardless of what we're doing, he would tell us what we're doing wrong. It's up to us to fix it. It's up to us to get it straight. The only way to get it straight is you have to be spiritually minded. How do you be spiritually minded? You have to stay in the Word. How do you stay in the Word? You got to read it and read it and read it. You may not understand everything right then and there, but the more you read, believe you me, he's going to bring it up in situations where you'll be able to say, oh, this is what this means right here. See, I can't tell you that. Kay can't tell you that. The pastor can't. That's something between you and the Lord. That's why it's a personal relationship. That's why when we are doing certain things, we got to make sure, in order to be in contact with the Lord, we have to have a spiritual mind. Because if you don't have a spiritual mind, he can't talk to you. Because believe you me, Jesus is not trying to be around sin. He's already conquered sin. He's not trying to do that again. So you got to go to him. And when you go to him, you got to go to him in spirit and in truth. And when you go to him in spirit and truth, and that's where we get mad, that's where we get messed up at. We want to go to him, negotiate the truth. And you can't negotiate. Either you are or you're not. Either you're hot or you're cold. You can't go in there trying to burn both sides of the incense and think that you're good, because you're not. You cannot manipulate the Lord. You cannot fool the Lord. You have to go to him and in truth. Well, how can you go to him in truth if you're wrong? If you're going to him and you're seeking for his will, he's going to tell you where you're wrong. And he's going to lead and he's going to guide you to where you need to be. And there's that thing that, you know, when you change, you don't change on the outside to the inside. You change from the inside to the outside. So the last people that's going to see you change is the people that's looking at you from the outside. They may not see nothing different about you. But if your heart is right, the only person that matters is to the Lord. We want to please people.
Yeah.
And that's where we mess up. Because we want them to see us from the outside in. It doesn't work like that. He works from the inside out. And if he's working from you from the inside out, the last people to see it is the people on the outside. But if you have a spiritual mind and you're looking at someone spiritually, you're not going to see them from the outside. You're going to see them from the inside. And that's a whole, and I'm not trying to get off the subject, but that's how you see, that's how you know someone. That's how you can tell if they're bearing good fruit. You're not looking at them from the outside. You're looking at them from the inside. And there ought to be a change on a daily basis. The flesh ought to die daily. It's going to die daily is if you're staying the word and you're spiritually connected to him. And he will, because he's not going to deal with foolishness. And it's going to convict you. So you're going to do two things. Either you're going to straighten up or you're going to ignore what the spirit person is saying and you're going to have that carnal mind. You hear it, but you're not accepting it. And that's what a lot of people do in church. They come to church, they hear the word, they get saved, and then that's it. They don't want to hear nothing else. They turn that spirit man off. And long as they think they come to church, now they're operating under religion. And they're not listening to what the Lord is telling them to do. And he's giving them all the signs, and but they can't follow the signs because the spirit man is turned off. And sometimes we allow other people to turn our spiritual man off. But that's a subject for another day. But we have to stay in tune in the spiritual mind in order for us to kill the flesh. The flesh needs to die daily. And with that being said, wife, do you have anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, well, I guess I do. In reference to what you were saying, you know, a lot of the times people, they go to church, they get saved, and then they go home. And the going home part is the part where if you're not building up that spiritual man, if you're not studying, if you're not being in communication with other believers, if you're not meditating on the word, fellowshipping, you know, doing things to sharpen that spirit man, then you're going to be easily being able to walk in the flesh. So it's not that you didn't accept the Lord. It's just not, it's not that you don't believe that he died and rose for you. It's just not, it's not that that part is not relevant to you, or you're not, that that part is not real to you. It may very much so be real, but you have to keep it going. You just can't get what you're getting on Sunday and expect that's the end of it. You have to put in the work too. So you have to do your part. It can't just be for Sunday. You can't just go and turn it on Facebook and say, hey, I went to church today. And truth be told, a lot of times when we're on Facebook or whatever, we're doing a number of different things. We're not just sitting there watching it the way we would be doing in service. We're doing other things. So with that being said, it's important to sharpen what the Lord is giving you. Use the tools that he's giving you, the people around you in your church, whether it's by phone, text, communicate with people. Turn on some music. Let the Spirit lead and guide you. You have to stay in fellowship and you have to stay connected because it's so easy for your flesh to override your spirit. So you do have to, you know, just make sure the right reflection is showing, because people are watching. And sometimes we're the only Bible that they're going to read. And they be reading us all day, so waiting on us to mess up. So just keep that in mind. That's all I want to add.
Amen.
Thank you for coming in.
Well, I got one more. I got one more thing. And I'm just trying to reach people. No, I'm just trying to reach people, because when I first moved to Georgia and I was at a church, I'm not trying to knock anybody this, that, or the other, but I was not being used. I was just there, going in, going through the motions. And when you go through the motions, you close off that spiritual mind thing. And as a witness, you know, I would go to church, and because I was used to preaching, I was used to being involved, and I couldn't get involved to save my life. I was spiritually, I was dying. And when I say that, I'm not knocking it, but there was no opportunity for me to grow. There was no one to say, we need you to do this, we need you to do that. It was just, they wanted, you had to follow their man-made laws in order to serve God. And that's just not right. Anyone should be able to willing to serve the Lord however they want to serve the Lord. You shouldn't have to go to no school. You shouldn't have to, and I'm not saying you don't need to be, you need to be taught, but if you want to serve the Lord, however the Lord leads you to serve him, there isn't, I can't tell anybody how to serve the Lord. If they want to serve the Lord and sing 24/7, that's what they do. Who am I to tell them that's not right? That's not my job if that's what they want to do. I can't tell them, well, you need to go to 8 different classes and learn how to sing before you, if that's what you want to do, that's what you do. And what happens sometimes is we go to church and that's it. There's no room for you to serve. There's no room for you to grow because you're not doing anything. And people in the world, the one thing about people in the world, they're always doing something in order to feed their sin. They're doing something to feed their sin. Regardless of what it is, they're doing something. Well, the same thing with the spirit man. You got to do something to feed your spirit man. Whatever you enjoy doing, you can do it. You just have to do it and serve the Lord and do it in truth. And if you can do that and you can find somewhere to go and serve. If you just want to call up everyone and say, hey, how you doing, Lord bless, then that's serving the Lord. You don't need no particular training to do that. You don't need to go to early morning Sunday school to learn to do. You don't do that. Everything has its place, and you need to be taught the word. That's one thing. But in order to serve the Lord, whatever the Lord gives you to do, because everyone has their own talent to serve the Lord. And it's not my job to tell you what your talent is. Whatever the Lord is telling you to do, and I'm hoping I'm helping someone when I say this, whatever the Lord is telling you to do, do it. And when you do it, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people are not going to tell you you're doing it right. But as long as you and the Lord is cool with it, see, I don't let people bother me no more with what I'm doing for the Lord. It took me a long time to overcome that, but hopefully this could be a shortcut for some of you. Whatever the Lord is telling you to do and is nudging you deep down in your spirit, do it. Do it. And if you're wrong, you will know you're wrong. Because if you're being led by the Spirit and it's not right, the Lord will tell you. And you'll be like, okay, my bad, I'm sorry. Repent and keep it moving. It's not a bad thing if you do it in the right way. People think because you repent, you've done something bad. No. You just may have done something and you may not have realized it, and you may have got in the way. But if the Lord showed you, thank the Lord he showed you, and you have another day to do it all over again.
Amen.
So somewhere along the line today, I may have not been a good person. The Lord will show me that. I don't need no one to call me and tell me that. But if they do call and tell me that, I got to check it and make sure I'm correct. My bad. It won't happen again. I try for it not to happen again. And keep it moving. But one thing I will not do, and I'm going to get ready to close, we're getting ready to get out of here, is I will not allow people, when I do mess up or I do get chastised, make me feel bad because I was trying to serve the Lord. And that's what I don't want to do. And those are the people I'm talking about, the people who are trying to serve the Lord. We're going to have good days. We're going to have bad days. The thing about it is when you hear the Lord's voice, whether he tell you you messed up or whether he tell you good job, just because you hear his voice, you ought to rejoice and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for showing me my wrongdoing. That's why I don't have a problem admitting to my faults. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. People say that's arrogant. No. I'm just not giving no room for the devil to hold anything over me. If I'm wrong, okay, I can tell my wife, I'm bad. My bad. I'm sorry. And it may sound like, well, you just saying it. You know, I'm apologizing to the Lord because I let him down, let you down, or my kid, or whoever the situation may be, and I'm going to fix it because I'm trying to do the Lord's will. And if you're living for the Christ, you're going to reflect in the mirror that, yes, you got to do better. Every time I look in the mirror, I got to do better because somewhere spiritually is not right. So when I see myself in the mirror, I see my flaws, and I'm working on it. But if the enemy would have his say, he's going to try to keep me in my flaws because it's fleshly. But if I put some spiritualness over there, we'd be good to go. We'll be good to go.
Amen.
So
move
with that,
some of that
being
pride
said,
the
right,
you know,
all that got to go.
They have that pride, right, and they don't want to admit things and you know. But,
I'm guilty.
You know,
I'm right there because I'm prideful. And I don't like to admit I like to be right all the time. My wife would, I like to be right. It's my way or no way. But I'm learning as I move on, I'm not right all the time. And it's okay not to be right all the time. It's okay. And you learn, and you move, and you continue to move, and you continue to grow. And one of the things that I'm trying to grow in is if I'm not doing something right, Lord, show it to me so I can fix it. So if I'm doing something wrong, the Lord is going to show me. And when he show me, I'm going to thank the Lord and shout because he's talking to me. And that's something good. See, the Muslims ain't got nothing because Buddha or Muhammad can't talk to you. But our Lord can talk to us because he's alive. And there's a difference.
Yes.
That's what makes me excited about it. Because when I mess up, he's telling me I'm good. And when I do good, he's telling me I'm good. So. That's the exciting part about being a Christian. Our reality is alive. Our reality is real. Our reality is the truth. The truth of the what? Living God, of the living word. We have it on our side. And if we learn how to use it, this Christian walk could be enjoyable, even when we're going in the valley, even when it's raining on us. We still can have a smile on our face because we already know the Lord is with us. And even though it may be storming, a rainbow is about to come out. And that rainbow is going to be a symbol. Christ is right there where we ain't got nothing to worry about. And with that being said, this has been another edition of D&K. I just want to say thank all those for listening. Our weekly schedule is as it always is, nothing's changed. We are going to be moving to... Can you say that TV station for me again?
Roku.
Roku. We'll be we're a few days away from. I'm letting you know when we're going to be start airing our chaos stuff on Roku. It's coming up really 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 soon. So weekly schedule is as always, D&K Bible Break on Monday, Tuesday Praise Tabernacle Church, Thursday Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries on Thursday, Sunday morning, 9 a.m., Praise Tabernacle Church. Also, we got some new stuff coming out. If you haven't heard Vent Break, please tune in Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. It's new for Chaos. It's new on Chaos. I think it's going to be a fourth week we're doing it on Wednesday at 8 a.m. If you just want to wake up, if you're going to work in the morning, I just say turn into the website, call the number, and just get a good inspirational word. I'm just going to promote it like that. On Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on your way to work, or if you're getting up, summertime, kids ain't got school, just listen and tell me that word for 30 minutes don't just make the rest of your day better. It's just going to... It's a jump start. I'm just letting you know. It's a jump start. I didn't know what to expect, but some said, Derek, put this young lady on. And on Wednesdays, it's been a blessing every week. And it's just really encouraging. And it's just encouraging to hear a young person try to encourage everybody else. It's a beautiful thing. So if you ain't doing nothing Wednesday morning, just call the number. You ain't even got to go to the website. Just dial 845-277-9094 at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I guarantee you, if you're trying to be spiritual, this will uplift you. Just like I want to call it, it's like getting a cup of coffee. If you get it, it'll make the rest of your day that much better. And the fact is, if you like me, to hear someone young trying to, not trying, but encouraging you in the word of God, that excites me. Because a lot of young people ain't trying to do that. They're trying to do everything else, trying to get a like, trying to take pictures and poses and all this other stuff. But this young person Sister Vanessa, is trying to encourage people who are going through stuff, because we're all going through something. So it's like a shot of caffeine for me when I can hear what she's saying and how she's saying it. So Wednesdays at 8 a.m. is a new show called Vent Break. Check it out at 8 a.m. The rest of our schedule is, as always. And with that being said, keep me and Kay in prayer. When I say this in prayer, we had a lot of family. We had a lot of good things happen. We had a lot of unexpected things happen over the last month. My sister-in-law lost her best friend as like a sister, like a family member. And she's going through something because it was unexpected. And, you know, we've been dealing with that coming out of a graduation and her family, my wife's family, my family. We've been going through a lot. And you know, coming up the next 2-3 weeks, we got a lot else going on. So just keep us in prayer. We're going to be on the move. Keep my wife, as she had prayed for her for traveling mercies over the next couple weekends. And pray for my granddaughter and my son. My oldest boy is manning up, trying to be a father. Ain't trying to be a father, but he's going through something right now, and I'm proud of him. Took him a while, but he's trying to do the right thing, and it just makes me proud when you're trying to do the right thing. Just keep us all in prayer. And with that being said, Kay, can you dismiss us? And don't forget, tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m.
All right. Also, I'm going to give out our email. If you have any prayer requests, if you want to give any testimonies, you can do so at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. So ptcforchrist@gmail.com. All right, Father God, we want to come to you tonight thanking you for just allowing us to meet here once again. We ask that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart was acceptable in your sight. We ask that someone heard something on tonight that will make a difference in their life, that we all take a moment to reflect on the reflection that we give off. And I pray that we are good stewards and good people over everything that you have provided to us. I ask that you continue to comfort the people who have lost loved ones, comfort people who are going through illnesses right now, comfort people who are just having mental challenges that they've been dealing with. I pray that you touch their minds on tonight, Lord Jesus, and I ask that you just continue to let your will be done. Send someone their way to comfort them, lead them, guide them, direct them, and just help them along this journey. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good night.